And I want you to bow your hearts with me as we ask the Lord to take us in. Father God, we love you. And Lord, we thank you, dear God, for such a wonderful opportunity to go into your word. Holy Spirit, we ask tonight that you breathe afresh on the word of God. Lord, challenge our walk, our commitment. Challenge our heart, dear God, for the loss. Lord, tonight, oh God, give us your heart. Give us your revelation, oh God, concerning this eternal great day. Lord, right now, give us a compassion for the loss. Lord, let us see men and women, dear God, with your eyes. Lord, we bind the spirit of error tonight. We rebuke the devil. Satan, you'll have no place tonight in the house of God. We silence your words tonight. You will not talk to anyone tonight. The word will go forth with clarity in Jesus' name. Father, we give you all the honor and all the glory in Jesus' name. I want you to go with me in your Bibles, first of all, to the book of Revelations, chapter 20. And what I'm going to do to start this message tonight, I'm actually going to read the full account of the great white throne judgment. And we're going to start here, Revelations chapter 20. And I'm going to start here at verse 11. I'm going to read on down through verse 15. Again, I'm reading from the King James Version, so it may read a little different from some of the newer translations, but this one will get the job done. We're going to start here at verse 11. John said, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Tonight, saints, I want to challenge you concerning the word of God. I want you to know, saints, that God put this in the scriptures so we would know what is coming up. God put this great judgment day in the word of God that we might know that there's a day coming. Tonight, I'm believing God that we will get a deeper revelation of this judgment day. You know, we hear all the time the term judgment day. All my life as a young man, I grew up and I heard the term judgment day. Judgment day is coming. And you know, because I heard it so much, it was like the man crying wolf. I really did not have a revelation of that day, but it wasn't until I got into the word of God and I got saved and God changed my life that God gave me a revelation of that day. I want you to know this. Have you ever been to court? Be it a ticket, be it whatever you've been to court for. You know, I went to court one time for a ticket, and I want to tell you something, saints. It was a very solemn occasion. I went there. I mean, I just did not like what I was feeling. I went into the courtroom, and the man told me, turn off your beeper, turn off your cell phone. I mean, I had to sit down and be quiet. It was amazing. When the judge came into the building, I mean, you could hear a pin drop. It was a solemn event. And I watched this judge pronounce judgment on men, on women. Now, I mean, I was only in there for a ticket. I mean, I forgot what a ticket was, but I was in there for, you know, for that reason. But I mean, saints, it shook me. And while I was there, I was thinking, I said, my God, what would it be like on the day of judgment? What will it be? Mankind has not experienced the fear that he will experience on that day. God wants us to get a reality of this day. This is why he put it in the Bible. He didn't have to do it, but he did. Now, I want you to go with me in your Bibles to the book of 1 Peter. And then I'm going to come back as we go through this study. We're going to break Revelation 20 down for you. But go with me, first of all, in your Bibles to 1 Peter. And I want to read a verse to you here. 1 Peter, this is an amazing, amazing verse. 1 Peter chapter 4, and I'm going to start here at verse number 17. Verse 17, listen to what it says. Peter said, "For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God?" He said, you know something, there's coming a time that God is going to start judging. But he said, God's going to start judgment first in his house, in the house of God. Peter said, now, if God's going to judge the church, his own people, what about the sinner who's out there doing his own will? What about the man who's taking all the gusto out of life because he don't want to serve God? What about that man? Will that man ever come into a time of reckoning for his life and his choices? Let's go on. Look what he said, verse 18. "And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear?" Peter is asking a question. He said, where will the sinner and the ungodly appear? Now, we know that God's going to judge the church, but also God's going to judge the unredeemed. Where shall that man appear? Well, the verses I just read to you in Revelation 20, verse 11, is where the ungodly will appear. You know, we're going to see as we go through the scriptures that mankind will give an account for his life. Mankind will give an account for rejecting God. Mankind will give an account for his actions and his deeds and his body. He will give an account. You know, I listen to the news and I watch people, arrogant people, people who are full of pride, you know, mock God. I watch them blaspheme God on TV. I watch them do all different types of things to come against our God. And I say, you know, God, there's coming a time that they will hear their very words. There's coming a time, God, that they're going to give an account for the very words out of their mouths. The Bible says every idle word, man will give an account for it. There's a reckoning day coming. Now, what I want to do, I want to establish the term judgment day. I want to show you that it's all through the scriptures. God has appointed a time of judgment. Go with me in your Bibles to the book of Matthews. I got to show you this. All through the scriptures, the Bible talks about a judgment day. The book of Matthews, chapter 10. And I want to focus in on the term judgment day. Judgment day. I was a young man and I wasn't saved at the time, but I remember as a young man sitting in my father's front yard, looking at a red sky, thinking about judgment. As a young man, it was a very sobering thought. I said, wow, one day, you know, there's coming a judgment day. Look at this. Matthew's chapter 10, Jesus talking here in verse number 15. He said, "Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city." Go on over to chapter 11, and we're going to continue. Look at chapter 11, verse 21. He said, "Woe unto thee, Chorazin." Woe means curse be unto. "Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which have been done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and in ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum," this was the headquarters of Jesus' ministry, "and thou, Capernaum, which art exalted into heaven, shall be brought down to hell. And if the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day." Now, the Bible says here, at the day of judgment, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than for Capernaum. Because Capernaum actually witnessed Jesus. They saw the miracles of Christ, but they rejected him. They handled eternal life. They touched eternity and they rejected him. He said, in the day of judgment, there's an appointed time. There's a day coming. There's a reckoning day. There's an hour. There's a season. There's a time that God has prepared that he's going to judge. Now, you know, every court case, there's a date that you got to go to. You know, you got to go to court. They give you an appointed time. Well, I want to give you a verse. I want to show you that God has an appointed day for this judgment. Look at the book of Acts, chapter 17. You know, God has an appointed day. There's a day on God's heavenly calendar that he's already marked off. This will be the day of judgment. Oh, yeah, it's coming. Let me tell you something, saints. Jesus did not die for nothing. He did not leave heaven, took upon him the form of man, took the scourging of man, took the beating of man, just to get his thrills. He died for humanity. That's why God is a very loving but a very sovereign God. When God judged men on that day, he will be a righteous judge, judging the unredeemed. God gave the best that heaven could give to redeem mankind. God said, I can't give you no more than what I've given you, my son. If you choose to reject him, then you will face an angry God. You know, God wants to be your father and not your judge. See, many people don't want God as father, so therefore they're going to meet him as judge. Look at this verse, the book of Acts, chapter 17. Now, we're dealing with the white throne judgment. Just hang with me. We're going back there. The book of Acts, chapter 17. And let's look here now at verse number 30. The Bible says here, and the time of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to do what? To repent. It's time for everybody to repent. Because he have appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he have ordained, whereof he have given assurance unto all men in that he have raised him from the dead. The Bible says that God have appointed a day of judgment. That's coming an hour, that's coming a season, that's coming a day where God is going to judge man. Man will give an account before God. I want you to go with me in your Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes. Look at this, the book of Ecclesiastes, and let's look here at Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Now, I'm going to give you some scripture tonight because I love the word, saints. And the Bible says, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. We're going to let the word of God establish this teaching tonight. God wants you to have a revelation of the judgment day. I want you to know, saints, if you get a revelation today of this judgment, it's going to change the way you witness to the lost. It's going to change your heart toward those that you want to give up on. This message has affected me so that I don't give up on anybody anymore. Listen, I don't want my worst enemy at the white throne judgment, because God sent heaven's best to redeem man. Look at this verse. This is a very powerful verse. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 11. And I want to read verses 9 and 10. Look at this verse. You know, a lot of times, you know, especially the youth, you know, you're full of life and vigor. You know, you don't have any thoughts of dying. You're riding on the edge and you put the banner no fear, you know, on your trucks and your cars, on your skateboards. I mean, you're sliding on buildings and sliding off cliffs. No fear. The young have no fear of dying. You know, God only gave you one soul, and you know, you really shouldn't be risking your life with that one soul. Look at this verse, Ecclesiastes chapter 9. He said, rejoice, O young men, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. He said, live your life like you want to, young man. Live your life to the fullest. Do whatever your heart desires. Do whatever you want to do, young man. But know this, that there's coming a day that God's going to charge you. You're going to give an account in the portals of heaven. I'm going to show you something tonight. Amazing. Look at verse 10. He said, therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. You know, we need to really preach to our kids about the eternal world. We need to tell our children, you know, there's coming a day that sin will have to be paid. There's a payday for living in sin. We're going to see here that this white throne judgment, it's a horrible time for mankind. You know, I'm going to make this statement. I'll show you this. We're going to see at the white throne judgment, this will be the only time that the unredeemed will be allowed into heaven. Because we're going to see where this event will take place. This judgment is amazing. I remember as a young man, God was dealing with my life before I got saved. He was dealing with my heart. And I was living on the wild side, you know, taking all the gusto out of life, doing my own thing. You know, I was young, you know, and you know, just doing my thing. But God began to deal with my life. Somebody began to pray for me. And God began to deal with my life. And He started closing my world in. And one night I went to this club, and I mean, I just had a good time. You know, I'll be honest, saints, I had fun in sin. I did. You cannot tell somebody who's living in the world that he's not having fun. Oh, no, they having fun. I had fun in the world until God got in my business. God, I'm driving down the road and I saw a bumper sticker. God started messing with me. I'm going this place and I see a guy. He said, Jesus. God started messing with my life. He started messing with my peace. You know what I mean? He started dealing with me. But this one particular night, I left this club and I was so tired. The devil wore me out so bad. I went home. I was so tired. I went to sleep. But I went to sleep and all of a sudden God gave me a dream. Now, I wasn't saved, y'all. I was lost. And God gave me a dream. In this dream, my bed was next to the window. And what happened in the dream, I got on my knees in my bed and I pulled my curtain back. And when I pulled the curtain back, I looked up and the whole sky was the throne of God. His throne filled the entire sky. And listen, I said, oh my God, the world is coming to you and I'm not ready. I mean, I began to cry. I said, oh my God, the world's coming to you. I mean, such fear was on me. I mean, I thought that the reckoning day had caught me. Man, I'm going to tell you, that's some fear, man, you just don't want to experience. I said, oh my God. I jumped up and I ran into the living room. I told my family, I said, the world's coming to end. The world's coming to end. And none of my family listened to me. It bugged me. None of them would listen to me in the dream. The Lord woke me up. I woke up that morning, pulled the window back, saw the beautiful sunshine. Woo, I was a happy man. It was only a dream. It was only a dream. But that thing haunted me. That dream haunted me. I said, my God, what if that was the actual day and I was caught outside of the blood of Christ? But what bugged me so much about that dream was the fact that no one listened to me. I said, God, what did that mean? What did that mean, God? He gave me an answer when I got saved. I got saved and the Lord told me, he said, son, the reason why no one listened to you on that day, he said, because on that day it's me and you alone. He said, on that day, son, I'm not concerned about your pastor, your mother, your daddy, your uncle, your nephew. It's just me and you. On that day, I'm coming to deal with your life and my business. I said, oh, my God. And it wasn't too long after that, saying, you know, I mean, man, I gave my life. I surrendered my life to Jesus. I gave my life to the Savior. He says here, young man, you better be careful living on the edge. Young man, you better be careful taking all the gusto out of life. You know, they tell you, you only got one life to live. No, listen, you better be careful with that one life to live. A lot of people have used that one life, and now they are in eternity about to face the judgment. The scripture says, it's appointed to men once to die, and after that, the judgment. Now, I want you to go back with me to Revelations again. Revelations chapter 20. And what we're going to do now, I'm going to begin to break down this white throne judgment. You know, saints, God put this in the book so we can read it. God put this in the scriptures so we can understand it. He didn't put it in there just for good reading. You know, God knew exactly what he did when he put it. He didn't care what you thought about it. He didn't care about your opinion. He didn't care if you didn't like him putting it here. God put it there for a reason. Let's go back to chapter 20, verse 11. Look what John said. Now, this event would take place right after God judges the devil. Since we're here, let's just go ahead and read verse number 10 again. That's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Chapter 20, verse 10, it says, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." You know, Satan's going to hell. Yeah, the devil's going to hell. He's going to be judged. Now, God's going to judge the devil. He's going to judge the angels. We're going to see a little bit further in the verses here. But then the scene turns. Now God has to deal with humanity who have rejected him. Look at verse 11. John said, "And I saw a great white throne." That's a throne that's pure. It's a throne of righteousness. It's a great throne. "And him that sat upon the throne, whose face the earth and the heaven fled away." I believe at this point is where the renovation of planet Earth takes place. I believe at this point, when heaven and earth is removed for a season, God actually renovates the earth. Peter talks about the earth receiving a fire baptism. He said when the fire has done its clearing and cleansing, he said, "We look for a new earth and a new heaven wherein dwells righteousness." Here, I believe, is where that takes place. And I'll explain it as we go a little further. He said, "The heavens and the earth fled away, and there was found no place for them." Verse number 12, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God." Now, it's amazing the terminology that John is using here about these people whom he's talking about. He called them the dead. Not the living, the dead. But they are alive. So it lets us know he's really talking about something a little bit deeper than what we're thinking here. Because he said here, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God." He saw the dead standing. So he's really not talking about physical death here. He's talking about spiritually bankrupt humanity. Men that are spiritually dead before God. Scripture says we were once dead in sin, but now we've been made alive unto Christ. The Bible says we need to reckon ourselves as alive unto Christ. You know, we're walking around a lot of dead people all the time. Many of us here were dead. We were dead. We were smelly, dead in our sins. Well, here at the white throne, God is going to deal with the dead. Look what he says again in verse 12. "And I saw the dead, small and great." You know something? He's going to deal with every level of the dead. Some people think, again, because they are small, or they have no reputation, or they may be homeless, or they may be the poorest man in the world, that they're going to get an easy ride into heaven. Oh, no. He said the small and the great, the smallest man must receive Christ. On this day, the very least of humanity will give an account for his rejection of Christ. Then he said, "I saw the great." Now the great, the famous, the renowned, men of great honor in the world. You know something? Let me say this. You know, it's good being a hero. A hero is great. I love it. But I want you to know something, saints. Don't be a hero without Jesus. You know, many generals, you know, men of a five-star caliber, you know, just powerful men in world history had a problem with Jesus. Now, in the worldly sense, they were men of honor, but they had a problem with Jesus. Let me tell you something, saints. At the white throne judgment, there will be the great will stand before God. Men of great renown, movie stars will stand before Jesus. Many people will stand before God to give an account for their life, for their actions. I heard Ted Turner, the man who founded CNN, I heard him say from his own mouth that he wants to go to hell. He said that he does not want to go to heaven with all those smushy and wishy washy those old Christians. Let me tell you something. He don't realize what he said. I'm praying for Ted Turner. I'm praying that God give that man a you know, so I'm gonna pray God give him the dream that I had. Yeah, yeah. That dream will change your thinking. Men of renown. And you know something? I want you to know this. I don't care who you are. I don't care where your status in life is. I don't care if you're the richest man in the world in here tonight. You need to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord, because if not, you're going to stand before an angry God. You're going to give an account for your life. Look what he says here again. Small and great stand before God. Look what he says. And the books were open. Now look at that. This term books is plural. So that means that there's going to be more than one book that will be open at this time. What books do you think God is going to open at this time? Because the Bible says here that the books will be open. Let's read it. The books will be open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books. Plural. At the white throne judgment, God's going to bring mankind into his presence. One man at a time, one woman at a time, one child at a time. Child? I'll deal with that in a few seconds. One man at a time will come before the throne of God. As that man come before God, the Bible says that he will be judged by the books. What books do you think God is going to use to judge man? You know, the scripture actually tells us what books he's going to use to judge mankind. Hold Revelation 20, and I want you to go with me in your Bibles to the book of John, the Gospel of John. The scripture actually tells us what books the Father is going to use. This is amazing, saints. Look at this. The book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 12. And we'll start here at verse number 47. Look what Jesus said. He said, "And if any man hear my words and believe not," Jesus said, "I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world." He said, "He that reject me and receive not my words have one that judge him." Jesus said, "The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in what day? In the last day." Listen, let me tell you something, saints. The books that God is going to use to judge mankind will be these 66 books. God's going to open Genesis to Revelation, and he's going to, you're talking about a Bible study? At the white throne judgment, God's going to show man the plan of salvation. God's going to show the Jews who rejected the atonement what God did and how he was going to cover them. God's going to show the people here in our times that all you had to do was accept Jesus and you would have been born again. The Bible says the books will be open. Now, I teach in a number of Bible colleges, and, you know, we have a 12-week, a 14-week semester, and at the end, last week of the semester, I give finals to the students. Now, if I would bring those students in the room, and for the whole semester we've studied Bible prophecy, but I bring out a test that I'm going to give them on algebra, and then every one of the students failed the test, and then I give every one of my F, I would be wrong. They say, "You know something, we didn't study that in this class. We studied Bible prophecy. We didn't study algebra. How can you fail me, man? I didn't study that. I studied Bible prophecy with you." Well, let me tell you something. God's the same way. Mankind will have to give an account because God have given us the blueprint. God has given us the pattern and the plan for redemption. God's going to take man all through the scriptures, and he's going to show them what he's going to judge them by. Let me tell you something. This is why it is so important for us as Christians, as believers, to spend time in the Word of God. We need to know what God's going to hold us accountable of. Many people are going to stand before God and they say, God, you know something? You know, I thought I could give money and serve the United Way and do all these wonderful things and go to heaven. And then God's going to take them in the scripture into the book of Isaiah. He said, you know something, son? If you'd have read my word, you'd have known that your good deeds are as filthy rags in my eyesight. Son, you would have known that Adam's stain of sin was placed on your life, and I sent the second Adam, or the last Adam, Jesus Christ, to redeem you. Many people, even people that are in occults, even people that are in situations of deception, they're gonna actually give an account for their life because they didn't spend time in the Word of God. They just followed a man rather than following the Word of God. God's gonna hold them accountable at the white throne. Saints, let me tell you something. This is going to be a day of reckoning. Let me give you another verse here. Go with me in your Bibles here to the book of Romans. Look at this. Romans chapter 2. God's going to use the word of God to judge humanity. Look what the Apostle Paul said in the book of Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2 verse 16. He said here, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men's by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. You're talking about a Bible study, saints? We have not seen a Bible study like there would be at the white throne judgment. When mankind leave the presence of God, he's going to know, because God's going to take him through the book and going to show him the plan of salvation. Man's going to see from the word of God that God did everything in his power to give him eternal life. Go with me again to Revelation 20. Saints, God wants us to get a revelation. You know something? This message has challenged me so to witness to people. You know, sometimes we look at people and we falsely judge them just by looking at them. You know something? At the white throne judgment, they're going to be sweet little grandmas at the white throne judgment. Now hear what I'm about to say. Sweet little grandmothers. You go by their homes on Sunday. You know, it smells of apple pie and peach cobbler. Sweet little old lady. Little Girl Scouts come to her home and she buys Girl Scout cookies. She's doing good deeds. But this sweet little grandma has a problem with Jesus. She's going to stand before God. She's going to stand before Father God. This has challenged me to challenge men about their salvation. You got people that you know that maybe are on their deathbed, and sometimes we are so, we feel so funny about challenging them, finding out where they are with God. They're about to go into eternity. We need to challenge them. Where are you with God? Do you know you're about to go into eternal life? We shouldn't take it for granted. We shouldn't take it for granted. These people are about to step into eternity. God wants us to challenge this world. God wants us to challenge the sweet little grandma. God wants you to challenge, your boss on the job. Some people would never witness to their boss. Never witness to their boss because they're intimidated by them. You know, sometimes that intimidation is of the devil. Yeah, Satan intimidates you because he don't want you to witness to this man, because your witness may cause this man to come to Christ. Listen, you get a reality of the white throne judgment, you know, it'll be a sad thing, this man stand before God. And you know what he say? He said, God, you know something? No one ever told me about you. I work around these Christians, people so-called Christians, but they never told me about you. I want to challenge you tonight. You need to go out of your comfort zone. You need to go out of your easy lifestyle to reach a dying world. Listen, Jesus left heaven to do that. Jesus left heaven to reach out to us to give us eternal life. Revelation chapter 20 again. He says here, the books will be open. He says, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. You know, the book of life is a book that you want to be in. Everybody want to be in the Rotary Club. Everybody want to be on the who's list. Everybody want to be on this and that. Let me tell you something. the main list that I want my name on is the book of life. Oh yeah. I don't care about nothing else, saints, as long as my name is in the book of the Lamb. Because the Bible says, whosoever was found written in the book of life, they shall be saved. He says here, the book of life will be open. Now, the reason why God is going to do this, the reason why God is going to open up the book of life there, because he's going to judge mankind from the word. He's going to show them that his word has condemned them to an eternal damnation. But then he's going to follow up and show them from the word that their name does not appear. Now, people say, man, I thought God was a God of love. I thought God was a God of peace. Yes, he is. He's a God of love. But I told you before, he did everything he could do. So therefore, this justice here is a righteous justice. Now, what's going to happen, and we're going to see in a few minutes here, is this. Here's the scenario. At the time of the white throne judgment, the Bible lets us know that there will be a resurrection of the lost, of the damned. At the close of God judging Satan, God's going to resurrect the unredeemed. This would be the man all the way from Cain throughout the world. Every man will be resurrected and he will stand before God in his flesh. The scripture says that mankind will give an account. See, man sinned in his flesh. That's why God's going to resurrect his spirit and soul from Hades and Sheol. And he will physically reunite with his physical flesh. And he will stand before God. Let me give you this verse because I want you to see this. And then he will explain a little bit further. Go with me in your Bibles to the book of Daniel chapter 12. The white throne judgment. Need a reality of it. My God, my God. Give us a reality. Lord, let us quit playing church, God. Let me ask you something, saints. Why are you here? Why are you here? Are you here just to get the latest prophecy angle? Are you here just to get the latest twist on the prophetic word? Let me tell you something, saints. We are here to be equipped by God to go outside those walls to reach a dying world. Let me tell you something. God is going to hold us accountable. God said, yeah, you got all the knowledge, but you didn't do nothing with it. You didn't let that knowledge convict you and challenge you to go outside to witness to the lost. God said, you left the service fired up. You were fired up. The service blessed you. And I brought the dead right on side of you. And you roll your eyes at him. God said, I saw you. You were so excited in the service. I mean, you said the word bless you, and you walk right past an opportunity to bring somebody into that same joy that you have. Says, I don't want no blood on my hand. I said, God, make me sensitive to those people that you bring around my life and people you bring in my life. God, make me sensitive to you. I've been in situations, saints, it'll blow your mind how opportunities have opened up for me to preach the word to people. One night, we had a conference. I went to Kinko's. It was like 2 in the morning. I've been busy all day and I couldn't get to it. So I went to Kinko's 2 o'clock in the morning. You know, my business was by God's design. I didn't even realize it. God was setting up a rendezvous. Yeah. 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm going into Kinko's, man, scratching my eyes, just tired. I did my copying. I went up to the counter, and there was a gentleman standing on side. The guy looked, he looks just heavy. I looked at him, I said, well, hey, man, God bless you. That's all I said. It's like I shook a Coke can and popped a can. The guy fizzed on me. Now, saints, let me tell you something. I've been busy all day long. 2 o'clock in the morning, I did not feel like evangelizing. I didn't feel like preaching the gospel 2 o'clock in the morning, being tired. But let me tell you something. God set up a rendezvous. I had to be ready for what God was about to do. This man looked at me and he started talking to me. He said, just started talking to me. I said, God bless you. He said, oh, no. He said, me and that man, we're not in good standings. I said, well, sir, what's the matter? He said, man, God killed my mother. I said, sir, let me tell you something. I said, God didn't kill your mother. I said, the Bible says Satan come to steal, kill, and destroy. I said, listen, sir, it wasn't God who killed your mother. He looked at me, he said, "What?" He said, "God didn't do it?" I said, "No, it was the devil." No one in 20 some years had ever challenged that man's thought that God had killed his mother. I ministered to this man. God had me to minister to the man. We started at the counter. Before I knew it, we was outside in the parking lot. Before I knew it, this man broke down and accepted Jesus. This man wept. He wept. People walked past us. People walked past us like we were, "Man, what are they doing? What's going on?" I mean, it was saints. We had a revival. It was church right there. The man broke down and he didn't care who saw him. I actually literally saw the life of God enter into this man's soul. Thank God I had just done a lot of, we had tapes ready for a conference. I loaded this man up. Come to find the guy was a truck driver. So he had a lot of time to listen to the word. But let me tell you something, saints. A lot of times because we're tired. A lot of times because we look at people and we see how they look, you know. We don't think God wanna use us to minister to them. I want to challenge you tonight. That person that you overlook may stand before the white throne judgment and you should have witnessed to him. Look at this, Daniel chapter 12. The resurrection. Daniel 12 verse 2 says, "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life," this is the righteous, "and some to shame and everlasting contempt." This is the unredeemed. At the last day, the unredeemed will be resurrected. They're sleeping in the dust right now, their body, not their spirit and soul, just their flesh. Daniel said, "There's coming a day that they will be resurrected. Their flesh will come out of the dust and they're going to stand before God." Go with me to the Gospel of John. I got to give you this one too. And then we'll go back to, I'm going to show you, you're going to see this. This is amazing. The Gospel of John here. Chapter 15. This is amazing, saints. I said 15, I meant John 5. The Gospel of John chapter 5. Look what Jesus said here, verse number 28. He said, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life." This is for the righteous. "And they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Resurrection only affects the flesh. In the last day, go back with me to Revelation chapter 20. God is going to resurrect the unredeemed. Those men and women who have done it their way. Those children who have done it their way. Now, the reason why I said children earlier, because, you know, a lot of times, you know, we think that a young person can't be lost. I want you to know they can be. You know, we do talk about the age of accountability, and many people say, "Well, what is the age of accountability?" Well, the age of accountability, there's really no set age for accountability. The age of accountability is when a child is able to discern good and evil. This is one reason why it is so important for a parent to raise that child in the fear and admonition of God. This is one reason why a parent needs to live a holy life in front of that child, because your lifestyle could cause your child to miss eternity. Listen, it doesn't matter. I mean, my daughters, my girls, both of my daughters are born again today. I prayed early on in their life. I said, "God, I said, deal with my babies early. Spirit of God, convict them early." Both of my girls got saved. I think one was saved at 6 years old. One was saved at 5 years old. We preached the gospel. My wife and I, we traveled all over the country. I preached the gospel in many of our services. When I give an altar call, little bitty hands go up. And I see parents grab the kid, put the hand down. I tell them, I said, "Mother, Dad, listen, do not stop that child from accepting God." Many parents think, "Oh, that baby don't understand." Let me tell you something. God is dealing with that baby's spirit. You let the TV influence him, you better let God's spirit influence him. That little baby sitting there, hearing the word, And the little hand go. I mean, we have seen some amazing things. Little bitty kids coming up to the altar to receive Christ. Yeah, yeah. Just like young kids are accepting Christ, there are young kids who are rejecting Christ. And if they reject Jesus, let me tell you something, saints, they're going to stand before God. Listen, I want you to have a reality of it. I know this is tough. This is a hard message. I know it is. But God wants us to have a reality. Listen, we got to quit playing church, saints. This thing is real. Eternity is real. Hell is real. Heaven is real. The new earth is real. This stuff is real. And God wants to challenge us to grab and get a revelation in these latter days. Revelation chapter 20 again. Latter part of verse 12, he says, the book of life and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and Hades, or hell, delivered up the dead which were in them. This deals with the resurrection. It's talking about the physical resurrection of man. Many may have died at sea. Guess what? At the resurrection, they're going to come out of the watery grave. Hold this verse. Let me give you another verse here. Go with me in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians. Saints, you know, look at this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Saints, I have a reality. I got to tell you something, saints. I live a saved life today because of this word. This word has affected me. This word has affected my heart concerning humanity. I pray all the time, God, give me your heart. Lord, give me your eyes. Lord, let me see. Let me see humanity the way you see them, God. You know how God saw humanity? God saw humanity in such a way that he sent Jesus. That's how much God said, you know something? That boy was created in my image. And right now we are separated. God said, I got to do something. God said, I don't want that boy who looked like me. I don't want him to go to hell. I got to do something. And God sent heaven's best. Look at this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Look at this. Verse 23, Paul said here, and the very God of peace sanctify. That means to set you apart. The very God sanctify you wholly. Paul said, and I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, you know something? I'm praying for you that when you stand before God, you are blameless spirit, soul, and body. This gives reference to that there would be a resurrection. Because on the white throne judgment day, man will stand before God in his flesh. Man will give an account for the deeds done in his body in his flesh. They're going to stand before God. Saints, you just cannot imagine what it's going to be like. You know, the Bible says that the saints would judge the world. I believe at this time also we, the righteous, will be at the white throne judgment, not to be judged, but to vindicate God's judgment. Mankind's life will be replayed in front of him before God. His life, everything he did will be replayed before him. The time he rejected God, the time this preacher came to him and he didn't want to hear the word, God's going to replay it. The tape going to rewind. God said, let me show you, this is your life. How many ever saw that track, This Is Your Life? Remember that track? That little track haunted me. This is your life. They showed a man living life. He living large, doing his own thing, but he died. And he stood before God. And I mean, man, that thing haunted me. I saw myself standing before God one day. Many people will be there. And I'm telling you, saints, they're going to stand. Humanity has not experienced the fear they're going to experience on that day. They're going to come into this room, and I mean, it's going to be a sanctified room. It's going to be a throne room that God have made. And listen, the unredeemed, the sinner, the lost man who didn't give his life to God will actually be called up before the throne or the bar of God. I mean, you need to picture this in your spirit. Picture this in your mind. God, what is going to be like on that day? They're going to come before God one man at a time before God. Oh, God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And you know something, too? At the white throne judgment here, every man that appears there is already damned. There's no hope of salvation for them. God's going to resurrect them in their flesh to give an account for the deeds in their flesh. That's why I'm telling you, saints, we got to get busy now. I've talked to many of you here and you told me, you said, man, this is exciting times. You said, man, boy, this is exciting conference. But what are you going to do with it? Are you going to go outside and pull the lost in? Let me ask this question. When has it been that you have witnessed and led someone to Christ? You think about it. That's an indictment against the body of Christ today. You know something? We need to be bringing in new meat. The Bible says that the harvest is ripe. You know what I mean? But God don't have enough laborers. You know what we're doing in the church right now? I got to tell you this, saints. We're inbreeding. From church to church, from church to church. You keep inbreeding, man, and you don't have no new life, you're going to create a freak. Oh, yeah. Yeah. People are church swapping from one church to the other. I don't like what the preacher doing here. I'm going to this other church. From church to church to church, inbreeding. God wants new life coming into the church. The church got to get busy. The church got to get a revelation that there's a coming judgment day. God wants us to go out there and bring in the lost. Bring in the lost. Bring them in. Bring them in. Bring them in. God say, I want them. Bring them in. God wants us to bring them in, saints. Go back to Revelation chapter 20 again. And I won't be before you too much more longer. But saints, we need a reality tonight. Verse 13 again, the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. Now, I shared with you earlier in Isaiah, the Bible says that our works are as filthy rags in our sight of God. The majority of the time when you see the Hollywood picture heaven or the judgment day, they always show a man coming before St. Peter, trying to work out a deal with St. Peter. Trying to give him some money on the table. You know, I believe the computers are messed up, Peter. I mean, I should be on the roll. Let me in the pearly gates. No. It won't work that way. Let me tell you something. Mankind will give an account for his works. God's going to show him your works are not enough. You know something, saints? We can't live good enough to go to heaven. That's why Jesus died. That's the message we got to tell the world. I meet people all the time, and God tell me, he said, you know, man, me and the man upstairs got a good thing going on. He said, yeah, I just hope and pray I've done enough. The minute he say that, it's time for ministry. He said, brother, let me tell you something, brother. You can't live good enough to go to heaven. You need Jesus, man. The stain of sin was, the Bible said we were fashioned in iniquity. We were already born damned. Born going to hell. You need a change. You need a blood transfusion, brother. You need Jesus Christ to give you a blood transfusion. Look at this. Verse 14. John said, and death and hell, or death and Hades, were cast into the lake of fire. Now, the lake of fire is the second death, or the eternal hell. He said, verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I want you to know, saints, God wants the church to get a fresh revelation of this eternal judgment. Because God put it in the book. He wants us to understand this judgment. You know, he didn't have to do this. This is future. This is to take place in the future. He didn't have to do it, but God did it because he wants us to bring in the loss. Bring in the loss. I want a fresh revelation tonight, Pastor Joe. I want a fresh revelation of eternity. I want to see humanity, and I want the compassion of God to fall on me. I want to love people into the kingdom of God. I want to see men saved. You know, when I go into a conference, you know, and I don't see people coming to the Lord, it just hurts my heart. To me, when I see people come to the altar to get saved, to me, it validates the ministry. It validates what we do. This is why God have called us. God want to see people come to the kingdom. I want you to bow your hearts with me. Pastor Joel, can I have a few more minutes? Just a few more minutes. I want you to bow your hearts with me. Father God, we love you. God, I thank you tonight for the word, oh God. Lord, you have shown us in the word that there's coming a judgment day. There's coming a reckoning day for mankind. Father God, I ask that you give us, oh God, a special revelation. Lord, let us see humanity with your eyes. Lord, give us your heart concerning the lost. Lord, let us use us in these latter days. Use us in these last days, oh God. Lord, forgive us for our slothfulness. Lord, forgive us for walking past the dead. Oh God, make us sensitive. Make us spiritually sensitive to the dead. Help us to help the dead, oh God. Tonight I got to do this. God want me to do this. Under the sound of my voice, we may have someone here tonight. You may not be born again. You may not be washed in the blood of Christ. I want you to know it was not an accident for you to be here. God wants you to know tonight that if you don't surrender your life to the Son, you will meet the judge. Tonight, under the sound of my voice, I want you to know that you can accept Christ and Jesus Christ can become your Lord and your Savior. And what I'm going to do this, because the way things are, I'm going to do a little bit different tonight. While the saints pray and your hearts are bowed, if that's you tonight, you've heard this word, you say, preacher, I'm not saved. I know I'm not. I cannot honestly say that I'll spend eternity with God. Tonight, I need Jesus Christ and I want to be saved. Tonight, if that's you, be bold tonight and raise your hand before God. Is there anyone? Preacher, I need Jesus tonight. I need to make sure things are right. I need to make sure that the blood of Christ is on my life. Is there anyone? Listen, I don't believe God would give a message like this just haphazardly. God know your heart. Listen. Don't fight with the devil. Don't debate about it. You know where you are and you know you need to give your life to the Savior. Tonight I ask you, surrender to Jesus. Is there anyone who will be bold to say, I need Jesus tonight? I need the Savior. Well, let me ask this one other prayer. You may be a Christian washed in the blood of Christ. And you say, you know, I want to have the love of God in my heart strong. I want God to give me a fresh revelation of the end times, a fresh revelation of the great white throne, a fresh revelation of how God sees humanity. I want you to raise your hand and say, I want the strength of God tonight. Let me see your hands. And you know, I'll be honest with you, every hand in this place should be up. Really, every hand should be. Every hand should be up saying, God, help me to love humanity the way you love them. God, I need your help, God. God, I need your help, God. God, it's something about the color. I see the color and it turns me off. God, help me to look past their color. God, help me look past the way they smell. God, help me to look past, you know, just whatever about them that bugs me. God, help me to look beyond that. Let me see your hands again. We want a change in our heart. Well, I want to lead everybody here into a prayer, okay? And I want you to pray this prayer with me. Bow your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, tonight we ask for your heart. Lord, forgive us for walking past the dead. Lord, in these latter days, make us sensitive to those that are around us. Lord, make us fit for the harvest. Father, equip us to bring in the harvest. Lord, help us not to give up on the loss. Lord, direct me into your love. And Lord, again, forgive me. I'm sorry, Father, for letting you down. I'm sorry for hurting your heart. Tonight I come clean, oh God. Help me to love humanity. Listen, saints, I gotta tell you. My heart. You know, I told my wife today, I said, sweetheart, I said, I feel like crying. I said, sweetheart, there's a compassion that has fallen upon me for humanity. I mean, I can really cry right now. I gotta tell you. My heart is so heavy. I said, God, help us. Help us to do your will. Help us, God, to reach this dying world. I've been praying for God's heart. God, give me your heart, Lord. God, give me your eyes. God, give me your eyes. I want to see him like you see him, Jesus. I want to see him like you see him, Jesus. God, help us. Help us. Help us. Saints, God want to use us. That's why God brought this conference. This conference is here to challenge you to do the will of God. It's not here just to give you information. It's here to challenge you to do the will of God. Allow God to change your life. Ask God for his heart in these latter days. And I'm going to tell you, if you ask him, God will give it to you. I'm going to give you one more verse as I close. One more verse. Go with me in your Bibles again to the book of 1 Thessalonians. Saints, this is a prayer that I pray all the time. I pray this all the time. Just a little simple verse. Let me find it here. Just a simple verse. I can quote it, but I want to give it to you so you can read it. Simple verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter... Let me get there. 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter... 3. Look at verse number 5. I pray this all the time. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into patience waiting for Christ. I say, God, direct my heart into your love and into your patience waiting on you. Lord, direct me into that love. And I'm going to tell you something. As you allow him to direct you, he will direct you. He'll change your heart. You take out a stony heart and give you a heart of compassion. Let's give God the glory. Hallelujah. Father, we love you tonight.
This has been a production of According to Prophecy Ministries. If you would like more materials from According to Prophecy Ministries, you can write us at According to Prophecy Ministries, P.O. Box 6, Lemon Grove, California, 91946. Or you can visit us on the World Wide Web at www.according2prophecy.org.